Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You revealed a month or so back that he texted you and mentioned he had played offense. You said you were unaware of that. One of the big things with, you know, Gerard was breaking down silos and communication. How was that not communicated to you by members of the coaching staff? Like, how were you unaware of that?
I think that thing was completely blown out of the proportion there. I knew he played offensive football. I just haven't thought about using him in an offensive role until that point during the season. So I was aware that he had played on the offense before. I'd watched the plays. And at some point, when he reached out to me, I said, well, let's get him going on the offensive side. We got blown out of proportion.
AVP, Alex Van Pelt, with Jones and Keefe yesterday on the coordinator series here on WEEI. So we got some clarity finally, Curtis. He actually knew Marcus played on offense.
You know what that reminds me of? When I asked Mayo about the final drive against the Titans, about potentially going for two.
Yep.
So, oh, yeah, we could be talking about it for an hour. Yeah, for an hour. We talked about it. Yep, we had the whole thing figured out, but we decided no.
Well, that's better than the original instinct was to say, I didn't know he played offense. I'd rather them lie.
But what was I guess Jones doesn't need any help, but my follow-up would be pretty simply, like, so it was blown out of proportion, but you just confirmed it, that you didn't want to play him until it was brought to your attention that he wanted to play on offense.
Yeah, they followed up on that, and he said basically he wanted to get his main guys going.
The longer the answer, the further from the truth.
It doesn't make much sense. It's been a tough season. You have been a Mayo defender, and probably still are.
Yeah.
You like Mayo? I like Mayo. Want to give him a chance. I don't think it's time to pull the plug. I have seen a lot of franchises, the Browns, go through coaches, as we all have, and it's not a good look. However, if you were judging it based on just the results this year, not good. Then right. Again, to your point from week one, Curtis, if Mayo wins tomorrow, what's the spread tomorrow? Do we know?
6 points.
Six? That's a pretty good upset. Beat Kyler Murray. If May beats Murray and you see the arrow pointing up, that's four wins. That's ties Bill from last year with basically the same team and some injuries, too.
Yeah, and Greg, you know, he did a good job pointing out there was a story this week where the Patriots are worse in every category with a easier schedule, and it's fair. It's the reality. I would also add that the Patriots played a lot more talented quarterbacks. The last year they were very fortunate with backups in different settings, but either way, the defense sucks. It's awful. It gets worse. It doesn't get better in game. It hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse over the course of the season.
But they've had the bye week.
You watch the end of that game against the – who the hell did they lose to before the bye? Where it was at home and they ran down there. The Colts. God, all these games are the same.
They blend together.
Suck. God, do they suck.
Honestly, tomorrow you have the choice, potentially, depending on what package you got, to watch Bills-Lions, Steelers-Eagles, or Colts – or rather Pats-Cardinals.
Right. I mean,
which one do you pick if you're?
Do you want Abe and Louie's or a kick in the nuts?
But it is Drake. You know, you get to see Drake.
I mean,
who's great? He's great with the media.
If I was off Monday, I would not be watching Drake Bay. I would be watching.
Shime's watching every snap. He's breaking it down. He's, you know,
right. I believe Bill Belichick will settle into North Carolina despite his desire to leave. And he will have a cocoon of comfort.
And he'll be there forever. That's it. He's riding into the sunset in Carolina blue.
Just like you think Giselle had a role in Tom leaving town, I think Jordan had a role in Bill going to North Carolina.
Yeah, but she could have a role in going to Dallas.
Well, you know, I mean, are you saying women love Dallas? I would say also, pretty simply, that if a great great coach is available that is legitimately interested in the Patriots.
Like Vrabel?
Vrabel, Johnson, you name it.
McDaniels?
No, God. Then Jerod Mayo will be out. They will find a way to do it.
But not this year.
I don't know. I listen, Robert.
You believe Bedard. Now, Bedard's report.
Bedard's report isn't even a report. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If you actually work through the verbiage in it, at no point does he say Robert Kraft is going to fire him. He says things like he couches everything. I was told by someone in the organization
Ooh.
That Bedard is full of S. This was a while ago, but it stands today. And so,
Zach, you'll learn producing the show. There are a couple trigger words that I can go to at any time to get Curtis going. One of them, of course, is Brady, Belichick, something right. That. But Bedard will get him going.
Well, when I was a raging alcoholic, I nearly broke the Brady 4-game suspension because I would text Florio.
Really?
And I would text Schefter, and I would hear nuggets of what they said, and I would feed the other acting like I had information. And that's his whole career. He doesn't have legitimate sources.
But he didn't even say this was a source. He just kind of said, I think.
He said team sources.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
I thought he said he should be coaching for his.
The story cited team sources. So, whatever. He might be right. Who the hell knows? But
enough reporters like Curran have come out and said basically barring a disaster.
But
like,
that's Bedard's story.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, a drone, you know, attack, you know, he might be out.
Well, that's looking probable.
The Patriots, Robert Kraft stands to gain nothing by vacillating on his coach now publicly. Well, so
I think I'm back.
Oh, there here we go.
We had a little surge there. Oh, man. This drone stuff's getting real.
I got to tell you, Stacey James is powerful. I don't know what just happened. But,
It's a good way to derail the show, too, because you and I are so scattered. Any interruption in the show easily takes you off and forget what the hell you just said. I don't remember.
I am easily disengaged. So what I would say simply, the Patriots, since Robert Kraft bought the team, are at their
nadir.
Yes. There is.
It wasn't last year pre Drake May.
Nope.
I think it was last year.
No.
I think
because there was the Jerod Mayo experience has been clunker with a capital K or
yeah,
C.
Yeah, but what if this year was Marvin Harrison and he's out there with Hoyer and
I'm just telling you, in talking to Patriots fans, there is no buzz.
That's not true. There's buzz. There's Drake May buzz.
Okay. You want to trust me, who's been following this my entire life? There's not buzz
around
this team.
I'll trust you. You said the only thing that mattered was Drake May's development.
Right.
You said that, and now you just totally
I said last week, I said I was wrong. People say I'm never wrong. I said, in hindsight.
You sound like Van Pelt.
I watched the coaching on Sunday, my lead Monday morning. I watched the Bills debacle against the Rams. And I saw Josh Allen. Brilliant. Awesome. And he hasn't won anything. He's never got to a Super Bowl. And I looked at the coaching, and I said, it's not simply the quarterback. The quarterback has to have some semblance of help. And where we are with the Patriots, Drake May has been spectacular.
Austin Hooper looks good. Good signing. Close game, too. Colts game. Competitive.
against on the edge of your seat. That sucks. Anthony Richardson's completion percentage is like 48%, which is almost impossible in today's NFL.
And they still like, were surprised he was running. Like,
I mean, it's just – it's not that they're losing. It's how they're losing. It's not that the defense stinks. It's that the defense has gotten worse. And Jelani Tavai and these guys get all angry when you point facts out. Like, is does Gerard Mayo
you say, asked him a good question on the Friday appearance, what happened to the defense? And he just – he doesn't have an answer. Right. Details.
He's not a fan of mine.
Well, it's just – it's hard to point out. It's hard to say we suck. We don't have talent. Like, we're not talented enough, but, which appears to be the case. They certainly don't have a pass rusher, which goes back
– Where's Keon White?
Which goes back to my draft question. Should you take Travis Hunter or do you go Abdul Carter, edge, Penn State?
I don't know. I don't.
Trade back and get Carter.
Where does Abdul Carter go?
Probably fourth.
No, where does he go to school?
Penn State.
Oh, I always root against Penn State. I don't watch their defense.
By the way, college football today. Well, there are three games, a couple bowls, bowl season starts, and Army Navy. So you got to come up with a pick because you are in fuego still.
Army Navy, that was so cool last year. That was one of the coolest things I've ever done. And I mentioned this on the Greg Hill Show. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. If you just got a freezing cold outside, you're hanging out. There is a unbelievable docuseries on.
While
Army
you look
Navy.
That up, Zach, answer Curtis's poll question. 2 years' time, what's more likely, Mayo's here or Belichick still at North Carolina?
I think it's more likely Mayo's here. I think Belichick's
Thank you very
one
much.
And done.
There's a reason I brought All right. you on to Saturday mornings. Mayo is here. Curtis wrong again.
A game of honor. And what it does, it's from 2011, and they follow a midshipman and a cadet with their day-to-day life in college. They go from, beginning to end. They do a great job of documenting what this game today means, which we felt, I can't describe, it's the most unique experience I've ever had at a sporting event was the remarkable camaraderie by people who just really wanted to go out and beat the other's butt. And the people there, the people who represented the awful cases of PTSD and how we don't care for our veterans when they come home. But a game of honor and what the people at our service institutions do in their student-athlete life, which we mock with NIL because most students are not athletes or most athletes are not students, whichever. But it is so awesome. It is so great. You see these guys who at like lunchtime are in a makeshift Middle Eastern town doing a mission to try and get ready for battle. And then later that day, they're, on the football field.
It's normally in Philly. Yeah, last year we had, of course, had it here. And I think it's in Maryland. Is that right?
It's in D.C. for the first time in a really long time.
Well, it was a great event. It was great to be out. I have the picture on my office, on my wall, my office. I at Gillette Stadium.
I thank myself for my service.
All right, 617-779-7937. It's been an interesting week listening to Curtis talk about the Red Sox from my corner office. Didn't start well. They were getting bludgeoned. Then they made a move. Did Curtis give them enough praise? Do they deserve praise? Do they need to do more? A lot of questions in there. We will explore some Sox talk next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins' five-game West Coast swing continues tonight in Vancouver as they take on the Canucks. Bees looking to snap this mini two-game losing streak to start that trip. Puck drop from Rogers Arena set for 10 tonight. Day off for the Celtics as they travel to the nation's capital for a matchup with the Wizards tomorrow. Tip-off set for 6 p.m. Patriots return from their bye week and head out west to Arizona to take on Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Rookie wide receiver Javon Baker has already been ruled out with a concussion, while safety Kyle Duggar, corner Christian Gonzalez, and defensive tackle Christian Barmore are among those listed as questionable. Kickoff from State Farm Stadium at 4:25 tomorrow afternoon. Hot stove rolls on in Major League Baseball. Pair of blockbuster trades going down yesterday. Yankees acquired all-star closer Devin Williams from the Brewers, and the Cubs acquired all-star outfielder Kyle Tucker from the Astros. As for the Red Sox, Alex Speer is reporting that they are still in the market for starting pitching even after acquiring Garrett Crochet from the White Sox earlier in the week. Speaking of Crochet, he met with the media via Zoom yesterday, and here's what he had to say about pitching at Fenway Park.
It's an electric atmosphere, and it's fans that are knowledgeable about baseball, and not every fan base can say that.
Ken just mentioned it, but it's Army-Navy week in college football as the 11-1, 22nd-ranked Black Knights take on the midshipmen from Navy from the home of the Washington Commanders, Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland. Don't forget, you can hear Westwood One's coverage of that game right here on WEEI starting at 2 p.m. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
Right back to it. Ken and Curtis. WEEI.
WEEI.
Oh, we told you the streets is talking
about
on
the Red Sox.
Yes, Jones. Julian McWilliams, Boston Globe. Source: Red Sox on the verge of trading for Garrett Crochet.
Look out!
The deal includes top prospect Kyle Teal.
All right.
And none of the other big-name prospects.
Holy mackerel.
So it was Marcelo Meyer's name that was out there earlier in the week, maybe even late last week. Red Sox hang on to Meyer. They hang on to Roman Anthony. They hang on to Christian Campbell. They have landed Garrett Crochet from the White Sox, according to Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe. I would give that a standing ovation.
That's excellent.
There you go, Curtis. There's a little hot stove action for you. What a moment on EEI. Standing ovation from Jones. That's a rare standing ovation from Jones for something positive.
Before we get into this right now, I just saw this nugget that's going to make Patriots fans on that love to call radio stations very happy from Ben Volen. I don't know what happened to him. One Patriots official said Joe Milton has been a phenomenal scout team quarterback and expects him to ascend to the 2QB position next year.
Ooh, people love Joe Milton.
And have a big preseason, he notes. So look out. There's the future.
Future is Milton. I don't know.
Great trade. Love it. This is exactly what they should do. Garrett Crochet, can't tell you two things about him, but he looks like a talented young fella, 25 years old. Every Red Sox dynastic or championship window has been opened by a deal like this.
Yeah. Fastball cutter guy. He's expanding the repertoire, going sinker, changeup.
Wait till Andrew Bailey gets a hand of him.
He knows Andrew Bailey tangentially through his pitching coach. I listened to the whole press conference. You can find it on the Baseball and Boring podcast.
Too much time on your hands.
A big conference call yesterday. It is great news. Now, in the moment, everybody was excited. Obviously, as time is allowed to settle and the media is allowed to fill some airtime.
Time has grown, as I famously once said.
Time has grown. The secondary questions start. Number one being, are you going to sign this guy to an extension? He's got 2 years of control. Keefe made a point to ask this twice to CBO Brez Thursday on Jones and Keefe, and he really didn't answer it. Was kind of perplexed by the question, but he tried to eject from that question, line of questioning, and even Crochet said he's not getting into it right now. Didn't seem like a guy, though, that's going to refuse to pitch. He's excited to come to Boston and pitch at Fenway, that sort of thing.
Well, it's December. Why would you say that?
But, right. So do you think contract extension is a problem with him? And if they don't, are they morons for giving up this kind of a haul and not signing him right now before his price tag could go way up?
Well, what they did was use someone else's gift card to get a really nice meal.
Well, that's a great feeling.
And so they sit here taking a victory lap when they didn't draft and develop these guys. And
no, but they did draft and develop Teal enough that Teal and Montgomery, they took the first round last year, that they had assets in the that were worth something.
Well, Montgomery was the first round last year. Teal was already, who was a Heim Bloom guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. But, I mean, the organization. You're right.
So the cornerstone of the deal was
not
Teal,
their guy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't get done without Teal.
Probably both those first round picks.
Okay, so either way, until they spend money and extend him,
right,
they haven't done anything. They haven't sacrificed anything. These were another guy's picks, and the guy that you brought in to fix the farm system who did that and you fired, they need to spend actual money, and they need to do it this offseason. They should extend him. Pedro was extended. Beckett was extended when they make these kinds of deals. And for me, I just go back to the similar thing with the Patriots, where they make something that's already really hard, which is building a championship team, more difficult by the manner in which they try and get the fan base excited before a deal is consummated. And so I go back to that Silverman piece where Sam Kennedy's on the phone. He's like, oh, I got to take this. It's Big Poppy. Ooh, it's about Juan Soto. Like, they never were going to sign Juan Soto. You and I
agree.
They
were in on him. They were in on him.
Okay, yep. As I said, Greg was in on MRAT. And so there's plenty of guys out there. Corbin Burns, there's Bregman. You know, they haven't had a big deal. It's been about the same time. We haven't had 6 inches of snow in like 1,200 days.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox front office haven't had a big signing in about that same span.
And I must admit, this was plan B, right? Plan A was Max Fried.
Right. Who went to your big rival.
They got outbid by a year and $20 million or something, and he went to the rival. That's the way it appears. I don't know if that's actually the way it went down, but even I have to admit, they didn't want to pay Max Fried what he wanted, so this was probably their second choice. Not a bad second choice. Could be better than Fried. Who knows how that plays out? He's a little more unproven. But your rival got good, and they just traded for a closer yesterday, and you had to give up assets to get a guy. So let me ask you this, because the worst-case scenario was developing middle of the week, which was they got outbid for Fried. Soto had gone to the Mets, which is, I guess, not the worst case. But there were reports they were considering Pivetta again.
Yep.
You and I were going to be at Fenway Fest talking to Pivetta again about the pitch clock. That was worst case. Now, the second worst case is this is their signature move, and they don't follow it up with anything of substance. It's just nickels and dimes here and there. I don't think that's going to happen from the way they're talking, but if that happens, what do you think the reaction is?
They are not going to win a betting war. What is it called when you have everybody?
PR battle?
Bidding war.
A bidding war.
They are not going to win a bidding war as long as the current front office is the way it is. John Henry is on the Economic Reform Committee in Major League Baseball. He's trying to curb the spending of Steve Cohen. So you can't in that same breath enter a negotiation and go $20 million more than $700 million, $750, and sit back down with Roger Manfred and talk about the absolute scourge of extra money in baseball. I'm just telling you, that's the facts of the landscape that we currently reside in. So maybe Corbin Burns isn't at the top of the market that he's expecting.
There's no chance they're signing Corbin Burns.
Okay.
I mean, no
maybe
chance.
Maybe Alex Bregman. Maybe they go after, you know, I don't know. You tell me who they're going to go sign.
I think they will sign Walker Buehler, which is fine. I don't know what he's going to cost. I really don't know. He was terrible last year. He's had two Tommy Johns. When he's good, he's good. He was better in the playoffs. He's DJ squared, and it's kind of intriguing, but they might actually pull off, it sounds like, because you had Spear writing about this, another trade for Luis Castillo, which is, he's a veteran, solid. It's fine. It's not going to be a big spenditure, though.
Who's in the playoffs first? The Red Sox, Mayo, or Belichick?
This is our year. Sox year, baby. Sox. Sox right this year.
Okay.
I mean, they were almost a wild card last year. They were kind of hovering. No, I think they'll be a decent
almost
team.
A wild card. What are you talking about?
You know, just trying to spin that positively. I don't think they're going to spend a lot. This is what I'm telling you. And actually, Red Sox stats put this out earlier this morning, and it's so true. Here's what he writes. The Red Sox could split $75 million in annual value this year between Burns, Bregman, and Tanner Scott, and their penalty for doing so would only be a $4 million tax break.
I don't give a damn about the tax. I don't care. I don't want to hear about
it. But what he's saying is they have $75 million to spend, and it still wouldn't put them over the threshold.
They have more money than God. They can do whatever they want. They choose to be cheap.
I wish they would get Burns. I just, from everything
we read,
I
just don't understand why we tolerate that. They have the highest ticket prices in baseball. They're one of a few set of teams that actually still has their own TV rights deal, where they own and operate their own local broadcasts, which isn't the case for a third of the league that is being run and operated by Major League Baseball. They have never had a bigger advantage over other teams, and they choose not to use it.
To the phones we go. What do you think of the Red Sox moves thus far and their spending to come, if there is any? 617-779-7937. Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys, my favorite show. Curtis, you know you're my favorite on the morning show, too, because you tell it like it is. Guys, Cassis to the Marlins. The Marlins are shedding payroll. Jesus Luzardo is a number one or two starter. He makes 8.6. You flip them. The Marlins need a first baseman. They just traded Berger. They get a cheap guy. We get another top-line starter, and we sign Pete Alonso. If we sign Pete Alonso to a four-year, $120 million deal, and we get Luzardo for 8.6, we're still less in payroll than we were last year, and we were 12th in the league.
And are you
this
happy
what
with
I
that?
I understand.
If they do that, Mark, is that like A-plus offseason for you?
Yes, because you have a cleanup hitter, a right-handed power bat to play first base. He's not a weirdo like Cassis. And you have another top-line starter.
Curtis is down on Cassis, too. You don't like Cassis and his vibe.
Not at all. Would not invest big in him.
I like him. I mean, he's
why?
Definitely
he's
weird.
Not he's not reliable.
Why? When he's on, he's on. Thank you, Zach. What's wrong with Cassis?
I just said he's not reliable.
You hurt a little bit.
Yeah, not my cup of tea.
Mark, not bad theories. Lizardo, I don't know anything about Lizardo in Miami. He's 26, young guy, so they'd have to give up probably something pretty good for him. That's one thing I do like about Crochet. He's younger. So, you know, you could have gone out and signed Fried. They're obviously afraid to give a 31-year-old that kind of money.
Just they don't want to give the money. Until they actually spend the money, I'm not going to come out here and say that they're in on guys or not in on guys. I'm just not. And I'm sorry, it makes me a bad guy, whatever. I watched this Red Sox organization and the way in which they tried to, in hindsight, their approach to Juan Soto was entirely driven to lie to their fans and to sell tickets. They were never actually going to sign him.
They must have known the Mets were going huge and they had no risk.
So why did they do that? Why did they put their fans through that, if not to just sell tickets?
Yeah.
On false hope.
I mean, probably true.
So why should we give them the benefit of the doubt on anything?
It's. I guess I prefer that than not being in on it.
But they weren't. It's the same thing. They being in or not being in, you had the same chance of signing the guy.
That's why I do think you got to prove it to you. Could
but you mocked when I was mocking that they were in California for 3 hours at this lovely dinner where they didn't share a dollar figure, and you're saying that's normal. Like, yeah, what do you, like,
I,
at what point?
I don't know what happened.
You're getting spun more than anything, and
I,
you don't rip
I agree.
It.
I'm probably getting spun. I was hopeful.
But that's what I'm talking about. You can't use the hope of your fan base against them.
Well, that's why they have to follow it up, I think, with some actual dollars.
But
I think
if they never talked about Soto, if they were never in on Soto, and they just signed Crochet, everybody's happy.
But let's say they signed the polar bear, okay? Then that helps them spin that we were in on Soto because we're actually spending money and we're pushing some of that money over to the polar bear.
Okay.
I think it helps their spin.
It doesn't. Why do you need to keep spinning? Just sign the player.
Well, that's what I mean. They would have signed the player, and I think that helps their other spin.
Okay. I just either be in or be out.
They
just
should employ me.
Good. They basically do.
Let's go to Nick in Dover, New Hampshire. Hello, Nick.
Wow. That was quick, guys. Thanks for putting me on.
You got it.
I'd really love to see. However it all falls, come spring, that Devers is at first base, and go get a great guy that can play third and a right-handed bat that can hit. Because so you can bring all the pitching in you want. It's going to kill me to listen in April, May, June that Devers is giving games away because he booted a ball or he didn't get to one. I think he can pick it at first, but he just doesn't have the range or. That a good third baseman needs, and I can't understand how Cora leaves him there.
Well, I don't know if you saw Nick this morning or yesterday. His agent, Devers' agent, came out and said he's playing third base. He's not moving, so it appears to be a non-starter. So maybe Cora's hands are tied. Maybe it's political somehow.
Well, if that's the case, then go find a right-handed first baseman that can rake.
Yeah.
And if you know, and at least the worst case scenario, we have Cassis there next year, and who knows? Maybe he is a 40 home run guy. Plays decent first baseman. And I don't want to give away too much of the farm now. I get it. That Crochet move was big and was important, but I'd be careful as to, you know, yeah, a number two pitcher is going to be great or a number one guy, but I don't want to give away everybody for him.
All right, Nick, good call. Thank you. I love it. We got solid baseball callers. Nothing makes me happier.
Oh, I love baseball.
Good baseball talk, especially hot stove baseball talk. You don't want to do draft talk.
It's almost
hot
too
stove.
Hot.
It is very hot.
I mean... It's very, I don't know how to put it. I would just say, I think there's a chance that they're better than last year. There's a chance they're a potential playoff team.
Well, right now, Crochet over Pavetta, that's an upgrade.
Of course.
Houck's a year older.
And you got Giolito back and healthy.
This is the year Bayo becomes Baby Pedro.
Right. Well, if he was Baby Pedro, you get to keep Teal. Unfortunately, you were wrong on that again.
But they signed a catcher. Who's the catcher they got from the Yankees?
My guess is, I'm sure the Yankees are giving them the Johnny Bench.
Carlos Narvaez.
There you go.
I mean,
Narvaez.
Rolls off
good
the
second
tongue.
Catcher.
I can't wait. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. What do you think the Red Sox, you really think they're investing at the top of the market on anybody?
No, I'm not confident they're investing on anybody. I just want them to sign a couple guys to shut up the fan base. To make everybody peaceful. And they need to. So Bregman, maybe Bregman's the guy. Perfect. Second base.
Let's do it.
Bregman to second. Keep Cassis.
I would get rid of Cassis, bring in Bregman. That would be my...
Cassis goes for a pitcher?
Or Vladdy?
Oh, that's a dream. That's not going to happen.
Why?
I just don't see the Jays giving him up.
But, maybe I mean, if Cassis is as good as you say he is, why not?
Were the Jays in on Soto?
They were, but the Loonies and Toonies.
That cost them.
The exchange rate.
Now, would you rather have T. Higgins or Corbin Burns? Boston sports fan. Wish list. Christmas wish list.
T. Higgins. Totally.
Is he a true number one?
I don't know.
Are you going to be overpaying for him?
I mean, literally, I just watched a touchdown catch by Jacoby Myers. What a whiff by Bill. Holy cow.
Oh, he's not that good. He's solid, but he's not that good.
On this team, he has two hands that function. I would want T. Higgins because there's the gap between, like, Corbin Burns and Garrett Crochet, not a big distance. I mean, not a big distance between the two.
Yep.
The gap between T. Higgins and the number two receiver is like a chasm. I mean,
I think Polk's coming around.
Can we stop every offseason talking about how great a guy looks at camp? I mean, Cadillac had Baker in the Hall of Fame.
I thought Baker was going to be good. He can't even get on the field. He's out again this week, right?
And he almost ruined the touchdown pass to Hooper because he was in the wrong spot.
I mean, is it just the mental game is not there yet? I mean, athleticism.
I mean, Van Pelt might not know he's a receiver.
I thought Drake liked him, too. 617-779-7937. Reach the Ken and Curtis Show. Tell us about T. Higgins. Tell us about Red Sox. I want to get back to Bill, though. We started the show with Bill. That was our off-the-bat topic.
Wild, wild week.
I would like people to talk me into, I shouldn't give up yet, in the debate of whether Belichick could best Brady when they split paths. Because I actually heard some convincing arguments that he's going to go to UNC and be a success. Then he's going to come back to the pros. Then he's going to win a Super Bowl. He's going to pass Shula. It's not over yet.
All right.
Is it possible that that's true? It's not done yet?
Not impossible.
Okay. Explore that a little bit. You also had a soundbite that you wanted to play earlier, and it was Lombardi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lombardi, just unbelievable.
Well, was this the clip of the week?
This is when I believed that Mike Reese was right in that Bill Belichick was not going to the NFL because of the pot shots Lombardi was taking at an NFL owner.
All right. Curtis's audio request of the week next.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
I think everybody makes too much about the cap. Certainly the players deserve to get paid, but more into the cap, there's two things that involve the cap. It involves how do we develop players to become good players, and how do we pay the players that already are good players. So there's two systems that are going on simultaneously. And you need a head coach like Coach Belichick who understands that. Player development is the key to salary cap. You know, we've seen this. The Jacksonville Jaguars have done this for years. They buy players. They haven't won enough games. You got to develop your own players from within.
Mike Lombardi, gridiron genius. And now North Carolina, gridiron genius. Taking a little shot at Jacksonville. That was on Pat McAfee's show this week. This is after he had already taken a shot at Jacksonville prior, saying that there are sons of owners that run the analytical department, blah, blah, blah. Taking a shot basically at Tony Khan, Shad Khan's son. So he's got an axe to grind with Jacksonville. I got to admit, I was wrong there, Curtis. I thought that was the place Bill was going to go most prominently, either there or Dallas. I mean, I had Brian Brodus lined up for today. Not sure if you're aware of that. It was our great guest, media member from Dallas from a couple years ago, that told us Bill's going to go there, basically.
That everybody there loved him.
And instead, they don't. I mean, what really happened among other NFL owners when they looked at Bill? Were they disgusted by his demands? Were they disgusted by his recent performance, his attitude?
What do really, really wealthy people want?
Respect.
Control. And they give up control when they feel there is an abundance of respect. They don't want to give up control. Like, looking back on it, right? So we haven't brought this up yet. There was a report this week that confirmed my reporting a year ago that Bill O'Brien was hired before the end of the season because Kraft was so pissed about the Patricia Judge fiasco that he said, we're hiring Bill O'Brien, and he brought him in.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick did not make that hire, did not write that press release.
Nothing makes me happier than Bill belly laughing at a Patricia joke when you and Greg make a reference to him, an aside reference on the Thursday morning interview. That is a great moment.
It's great. It's one of the few people that get my humor. It's only like for 5 minutes a week on Thursday. Everybody else here just misses it.
Really good season for BC football, by the way, too.
Not bad. 7-5.
Solid year, despite quarterback drama. Steady the ship, made a bowl.
So
pinstripe bowl, baby.
So at the end of last season, for the final weeks of the season, according to a report this week, Bill Belichick did not speak to Bill O'Brien. So
for how many weeks?
2 to 3 weeks.
Multiple weeks, didn't speak to him. Didn't speak to Mayo for, there was some chatter.
Didn't speak to Mac Jones. So if you're going to give a guy $30 million a year and total control, like, so if Arthur Blank calls Robert Kraft and says, hey, I'm on the Iroquois or whatever the 500-foot yacht he's sitting on because he has other issues. and he says, Robert, you know, now talk to me straight. You know, what was it like with Bill? I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to execute this deal.
Just quick aside, I can't knock the yacht game because if I was a billionaire, I probably would want one. I don't know anything about boats, never been on a yacht, but wouldn't you want one?
No.
Just for the possibility to get away if stuff happens on land?
No, the best thing about being loaded like that is you just hop on one that you rent. It's fully loaded. You don't have to pay any staff.
No, but during COVID, like, the people that had yachts were winning. They were just, well, they were isolated.
I got to tell you, you were losing.
I was right, but I was losing, yeah.
Yeah, right about what? So if you're Bill Belichick, I'm sorry. So Arthur Blank calls Robert Kraft.
Yes.
And he says, hey, I just had a great lunch with him in the, whatever, in the St. Barth's. And he seems like a charming guy, you know, answered everything well. What went wrong? And if Robert Kraft tells him that he didn't speak to his quarterback or offensive coordinator or one of his defensive coordinators that he wouldn't give a title to because of his son, would that be defamation or would that be just being honest with a colleague?
It could be seen as both. I mean, it's not a great favor to Bill to be revealing negative.
But if you're asked
stories.
Something, if Bill Belichick, I'm sure, also wasn't really talking to Robert.
Yeah.
Is Robert a bad guy for being honest about what his employee did?
I guess that's one of those, like, if you're asked to write a letter of recommendation for somebody that you don't like or trust and you say, I can't do it.
Right.
No comment. Or do you actually give them a form letter that actually spells it out?
Well, you know? And obviously people do all different things. You know, some people don't ever want to have that on their feet, you know, blood on their hands about a job not being gotten. But I watch this and then I read these stories that keep coming out. If you're Arthur Blank, why would you hand the keys over to that guy, especially considering the I mean, if we're talking about 2018, he has a job. People give him the keys. They give him everything. No questions asked.
Why is Jerry Jones sticking with McCarthy? What
because
is happening there?
He doesn't want a guy to come in, take control of the team, and 4 years later leave and leave it the way the Patriots were left. That's why.
So if that's the case, that's not going to change in a year.
But that's why having the ultimate power in North Carolina is something that appealed to Bill because he now can have the full stamp. If the team is successful, he's able to do it with younger players. He can relate to everybody. He's working with a university in those confines. Hey, I'm ready to go back to the NFL. That is a way to prove it, and that's what these owners would want.
So that feeds into your poll question and why you believe Bill's not going anywhere.
Right.
He's just going to be Carolina Blue from here on out.
You know, there's a lot of things you learn in psychology. The longer you wait to change, the harder it is. And at the age of 72... it is very unlikely for Bill Belichick to wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, I'm going to be magnanimous today.
But he probably has eight. He likes Trump. He probably has 8 to 10 years left. He'll go into his 80s now.
What do you think he respects most about Trump?
I don't know. His longevity?
Probably the fact that he's got yes men all around him.
Well, there you go. He could have 3 or 4 good years in Carolina and then maybe change the minds of some pro teams. All he needs is one owner in a couple years to beat Shula. That's all he needs.
But the Shula thing is, I mean, talk about another capitulation. Like,
well, you did play that clip that who was saying that, you know, Andy Reid's going to pass whatever Bill gets to, Reid will pass it.
Okay, but so why not just keep coaching? Now all of a sudden Andy Reid at 500 pounds is going to be healthier and longer at his job than Bill Belichick?
Yeah, but he's going to grind this one out, I would think. You don't think Reid will stick there for another 5 years?
I'm sure he will. I'm just saying it'd be a lot more difficult. Like, Brady came back because he was afraid of Mahomes, and he stopped him again.
Yeah. Well, what does the week prove to you in regards to Bill and his legacy? 617-779-7937. Let's go to Kevin and Quincy, not yet Danny and Quincy. Kevin and Quincy. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, Curtis has been right all along, I think, like when we heard it to death, but like Belichick only wins when he has the greatest player of all time. Let's be real. What's his record without Brady? I think it's like sub 500.
It is.
And I'm not saying he's not a great football coach. He's awesome, but he had he had Lawrence Taylor, and then he had the greatest offensive player we've ever seen, and Curtis was pointing that out for the last 10 years, and no one was really listening. So,
but Kevin,
I got to give props to Curtis.
You agree with Wiggy and Ty Law, who say they would have won with Bledsoe in 01 if he had stayed.
Do you, Ken?
I would ask asking Kevin.
No, I don't.
Come on, don't let Curtis bully you.
Ken, do you think they would have?
Yes, I trust Ty Law. He was on the team.
No, I'm not asking if you trust Ty Law. You think a team that was 5-13?
Yeah, he came in to beat Pittsburgh.
5-13.
Yeah,
with the same coach.
Does Ty Law still have a pick six in that game?
What?
When they beat the Rams?
Yeah, that's all there. Do you want to go back to the CBS Sportsline power ranking? They had Patriots 32 because there's only 32 teams. And I quote.
Yeah, at that point, they were not that team.
I was at the game. I can tell the story because it's.
You would have had to win one game.
I am in the facility at Foxborough Stadium with Stephen, Brian, and Amanda Belichick, right. Jordan, Carl, and myself, right. And Taylor.
Yeah.
And we get a ride from Debbie. We get to the stadium. We walk down into the locker room. Willie McGinnis is there. And he goes, "What's up, little Bill?" And he bangs Steve Belichick on the shoulder. He touched me, and I fell over because he was the biggest man I've ever seen. We watch the game in the 200s for the vast majority of the first half. The game goes bad. Doug Flutie's got more fans in the stands than the Patriots at this point. The Chargers are up 10 points, 14 points in the second half. Security says go upstairs to the box,
right.
Because they were getting heckled for being Belichick's kin. To say that that team was winning a Super Bowl with Drew Bledsoe is to ignore all evidence.
Okay, but let's go to the AFC Championship game. Bledsoe comes in, gets the job done. We have a member of the offense and the defense, Wiggy and Ty Law, saying if Bledsoe plays, we win.
Right.
We have Bill's great game plan doesn't go anywhere.
Yep.
And they get the job done. That's what they're saying. I mean, I'm going to trust those guys.
Right, and I'm just saying that that team was where it was because the quarterback was changed. And it wasn't so much that Brady was great, it's that Bledsoe was awful.
617 text, and you can text the show at 617-779-7937. Kraft has blackballed Belichick, period. That's why no owner will touch him.
So I need to understand this. Robert Kraft controls the NFL and tells people what to do and they listen, but he's dead set in getting into the Hall of Fame and nobody will put him there.
They only trust him on certain things. He's an expert on the Belichick situation.
He's an easy fall guy to blame why you don't want to pay a guy $30 million as a head coach.
Tell us your thoughts about Bill. Danny is lined up. Danny was texting me all kinds of things yesterday. He has sent us the palm tree calendar.
He's texting you?
Yeah, he sent me videos from Jamaica.
Huh.
I mean,
is Bill going to be coaching in Jamaica next year?
We'll find out from Danny next.